knows where, who knows where.
In the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining the program. Now, we are right in the middle of a month of rosary programs, and that's because we are leading up to, firstly, the March for Life, which is the pro-life march in its third year in Wellington. The festivities start at 12 p.m. excuse me, and the march itself starts at 2 p.m. Now, while that is going on throughout the country, while the march is in progress, at 3 p.m. there will be the Rosary for Life and Faith. So firstly, we encourage you to go to Wellington. Be there. I was there last year. It was absolutely fantastic. Now, Family Life International, who I work for, started the march in 2017. Last year, several organisations joined in. Family First, Focus on the Family, Voice for Life, etc., etc. And so once again, they're all working together. Now, at the end of the march last year, after a short break, we had a rosary in Parliament grounds, and it was wonderful. There was about 100 people there who stayed behind after the march. So, again, we will be doing the march in parishes at 3 p.m. right throughout the country. Now, last year we had 75 registered groups for the rosary, and probably about 30 unregistered groups, which I heard about all over the place. So we are really asking people, please register this year, because we had people ringing up, you know, is there a rosary in our district, in our town, etc., etc. And if it wasn't registered, I couldn't tell them. And as it turned out, there were rosaries in those areas, but they hadn't been registered, so people didn't know where to go. So please, like to lead or join a rosary, you go to our website, our beautiful website, which Dan Lim, a very, very talented website designer, has made for us. It's www.coasttocoast, one word, coasttocoast, rosary, rosary, .co.nz. Excuse my voice today, I've got a bit of a cold. So that's www.coasttocoastrosary.co.nz. So already we have, well, we're over 3 weeks out, and we've probably got about 30 groups signed up already, so it's looking like we could possibly have as many as 100 groups, that is parishes, right throughout New Zealand praying the rosary at the 3 p.m. So fantastic effort, and thank you to all of those leaders from last year who have put their hand up again. Wonderful to see the love and devotion that they have for praying the Holy Rosary. Now, last week we started a talk by Father Antoine, and about the mystery of the rosary. So we didn't get very far, but we're going to do it for the next couple of weeks, so we'll get to there now.
Beautiful rose. There are many flowers that have perfumes, but why roses seem to have the upper hand, or the greatest grade in the way we grade flowers, mm-hmm. in the symbolism of it. So in the Middle Age, in France, the farmers and the peasants who were subjected to a lord used as a custom to offer roses around a hat as a sign of subjection to the lord. And when the Virgin Mary gave the mysteries of the Rosary to Saint Dominic, he developed more formally, it was organized with all the mysteries and so on. But it's interesting that he takes from a tradition of subjection to. When we pray the Rosary, often we kneel. We don't have to kneel, but because she's our Queen, Queen of Heaven and Earth. She's our Mother, she's our Queen. When you play chess, you know that the Queen has more advantages and capabilities than other pieces. You see, you can do with the Queen things you cannot do with any other little thing. So, the Queen has a certain equality with the King. So, when it's the power of Mary is more to be exercised by her when we invoke her as Queen, because we make an act of faith at the same time, than as Mother. When we pray to Mary our Mother, invoking her as a Mother, it is more the relation child to Mother that is highlighted at the level of the heart. But when we are tempted by the devil, when we are fighting, and sometimes, especially in prayer, you can be fighting more than during the day when you are very busy. And temptations can happen more in prayer, sometimes than at any other moment of the day, strangely enough. And if you say in your prayer, Mary, Queen, crush his head, you make an act of faith in the queenship of Mary. And any act of faith that is explicit pleases the Lord enormously. O woman, great is your faith. May it be done according to your word. O man, great is your faith. May it be done according to your word. All the time in the gospel. So when you invoke Mary as a queen, God sees that you believe that she has received a queenship over the whole universe, hence hatred and the fury of Satan. In the book of Revelation chapter 12. The devil, as soon as the vision of Mary crowned with 12 stars, with the moon under her feet, and she was with child. That Revelation chapter 12. And immediately after the second vision, in front of her, the dragon, the ancient serpent, ready to devour her child as soon as he will be born. What does it mean, this symbolism here? What happened when Jesus in Bethlehem was born? Herod, he sent his squad to destroy all the babies under two. The massacre of the holy innocent. You see, the dragon, furious. What's the cause? What is the cause? Jealousy. What was the cause of the first murder of humanity? In our parishes, if we are jealous of one another, it can lead to murder in words, destroying the reputation of someone else. Never happens in our parishes or schools or business? Never. The structure of sin. John Paul II spoke so often about. First sin, pride. Second sin, disobedience. Third sin shown in Genesis, jealousy. Fourth sin, murder. Those are personal sins. And then fear also. It could be a sin in some way. And then we go into collective pride, collective disobedience, collective jealousy, collective murder and massacres. And we do again. And this is the cycle in mankind of that structure of sin that will never end until the parousia. When Jesus appears in the world, he will destroy the evil one by his appearance. Look at 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, Apocalypse chapter 1 and 22, Matthew 24, St. Peter and chapter... It's so all over. The signs preceding the final coming of Jesus. The rosary, Our Lady, always precedes the coming of Christ. Who was the most prayerful woman before the first coming of Christ in Israel? The Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary has been first manifesting to Saint Joseph her holiness, her expectation of the Messiah to come. There was a little remnant in Israel, very faithful, just a little remnant, like today compared to what it was up to 70 years ago. And the Virgin Mary is sent by God to prepare for the final coming in glory. You see, the practice of the rosary, especially when we pray the glorious mysteries, should have a particular note of hope in the final coming of Christ. Do you often hear today about the final coming of Christ? Oh no, not much, except from the Witnesses of Jehovah, the Seventh Day Adventist, the Pentecostal, right? In their way of interpreting. But it's the mystery of hope. How does the rosary feed our faith, our hope, our love for Christ? Ah, that might be a good question. Is our old devotions nourishing my faith, my virtue of faith, hope and love, as much as the rosary when it is prayed in a contemplative manner? Why did Pope John Paul II, I think in 2003, write Rosarium Virginis Mariae? Another exhortation. Oh, but we have enough. In that exhortation, he said, let's not pray the rosary mechanically, because that's the big temptation for us. We are so used. You are all good people. You go to Mass every day, for many of you. You pray your rosary every day. So the temptation is repetition. And repetition might put our contemplative mode to sleep. You see what I mean? Instead of meditating on the mysteries, we are in the movement. Sometimes, personally, I have a hard time to pray the rosary at once, at one point of the day. I need to pray 1 decade in the morning, 1 decade going somewhere, 1 decade in the afternoon, 1 decade either before or after Mass, 1 decade before going to bed. Then it's not heavy. Then you think of Mary more often than just once a day, and you don't feel guilty if you have not said your rosary because you are exhausted in the evening, or I haven't done my rosary. So, yeah. I mean, it's not written in the Bible, the an absolute devotion that you have to say at 8 o'clock every day. No, it's not written. We are free, you know. It should help us to walk with Mary throughout the day.
Okay, that's a great place to stop there. Thank you very much, Father Antoine. Now, it is Divine Mercy Hour, so this is a great little prayer to pray if you are reaching out and calling out for God's mercy. And it's particularly powerful if you are praying it beside a person who is dying, because our Lord promised Saint Faustina that he would stand between the dying person and his father, the just judge, as a merciful saviour. So what a great promise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrow, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there is a great organization in Auckland, Family Life International, and they have a pregnancy center. It's called Gianna's Choice Support and Options. And if you, as I said, are pregnant and worried, just give them a ring, because they may be able to help you. The number is 0274-488-070. 0274-488-070. So not only is there a friendly, caring voice on the end of the line, but come in and meet them, and they'll be able to work a plan that will help you in the future. Okay, let's get straight back to Father Antoine.
John Paul II said that through those 20 windows, or stained glasses if you prefer, on the mysteries of Jesus' life, we discover the mystery of Jesus in the eyes of Mary. In through the eyes of Mary, how did she receive the mystery of the Incarnation, first joyful mystery? Should we not receive the mystery of the Incarnation from Angel Gabriel, as she did? What was Mary doing when the angel appeared to her? Was she playing cards with the neighbors? Was she on the way to go shopping? Was she cleaning the dishes? We don't know, and we will never know. What did she do immediately after the angel left her? I question children once in a while to no answers. You get interesting answers. One day a child told me, so when I asked, what did Mary do immediately after the angel leave her? Oh, I think she went back to the kitchen to prepare dinner for Joseph. So cute, precious. Children are very realistic. You know, she prepared dinner for Joseph. It's not a high mystical thought. How did we receive the mystery of the incarnation when we were taught about it when we were a little boy or a little girl in catechism? God was made flesh in the womb of a wonderful, maybe 16 years old, young lady. Oh, no problem. Do you remember? Have you resisted when the catechist or your parents told you that? I've said, no, it's impossible. I cannot believe such a thing. You received it because you were a child. Ah. So what does Jesus say in St. Matthew and St. Luke? If you do not become like, you will not. Now we are adults, so we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so we need to become. As Nicodemus said to Jesus at night, you know, poor Nicodemus was a doctor in Israel. Yeah, he didn't know much. And Jesus said, you are a doctor in Israel and you don't know these things. Ooh, the lesson of humility, you know, poor Nicodemus. When someone is humbled like that, then he's ready to listen. That's what he wanted. Good pedagogy that Jesus took. So, to become a little child, we need to have a metaphysical mindset. Why? Because children don't have too much a reflexive mode. Children, you show them something great, wow, they are capable of admiring, of spontaneously, wow, that's beautiful. They don't begin to say, well, that's beautiful, yeah, but. No, no. Children receive. They are sponges. Sponges. That's why it's so refreshing to teach children. They do not criticize. They do not try to argue with you. That's what I love, this ministry with children. You know, after 16 years now, say, well, I do to adults too. I'm here with you. But but the Virgin Mary is the first model for us of receiving the mysteries taught by God, by the Holy Spirit, by the angel, with a pure heart. We are called to live the beatitude of the pure in heart. And in order to become pure in heart, we need to have an intelligence freed of preconceived ideas and ideology.
Okay, it's that time again. Make sure you tune in next week to hear the rest of Father and talk about the Rosary.
With a many winding tongue that leads us to knows where.